The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle and Johnny Cakes Auville. 7:45, we have our touchdown parlay. 8 o'clock Fridays with Feinstein. We'll give you our picks on the Commanders game later in the show. But right now, time to hit the skins. It's brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the skins right now? Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case? Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies to get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep makes you great.
All right, guys, it's a massive one. Massive one with the Cowboys this week. I know you think this should be a walk in the park. I don't think it's going to be. It's division rival. The Cowboys are banged up. They're reeling. But as JP mentioned, you saw what happened last night in that Browns-Steelers game. Everybody just sort of assumed the Steelers would take care of business. And boom, end up on the wrong side of it. We have some audio. Let's start with Dan Quinn. Let's go to the head coach, DQ Valdez. Everybody wants to know what's the status of Marshon Lattimore, their newly acquired DB.
And then I know we ask about Marshon every time, so I'll just give. But what,
sure.
What is he? What do you anticipate him being able to do today, and then maybe this week?
He'll work off to the side today, so had a speed day over the weekend, more strength than that today, so work to the side, and then we'll see what tomorrow looks like if we're able to work him into, you know, some of the practices. But I'll have a better sense probably tomorrow afternoon, then into Friday, where it will go, but he'll work off to the side today.
All right, so that's from Wednesday. I remember seeing that. That's from Wednesday. Here's what he's asked about what he wants to see from Jaden down the stretch.
And you said this week that because Jaden was, you know, banged up, he didn't get a chance to practice as much. What do you want to see from him now down this stretch?
Back to playing the position with all the reps with the guys. And so that's a big deal, Chick, to make sure the throws, the different types, the movements out of the pocket, the runs, all of the things that when he plays quarterback, that's unique. And that's all the things that we have to practice outside the pocket, remaining a passer, down the field. And so you can script some of those, work some of those at the line, but I think just getting the timing really concise, that's a big deal for us.
Yeah, so we're going to play this. This is clips from Cliff, probably from yesterday, I'm assuming. Yeah, because I listened to this as I was driving in this morning. And just I don't know if this is exactly the clip, but Cliff, basically, you can read between the lines that these last 3 or 4 weeks, they've not had regular practices. They've definitely been working around Jaden's injury, trying to, you know, keep him up to speed and healthy, and not exacerbate anything, limit them a little bit. And then you have the condensed schedule, right, of the two games that they had, where they had to play Sunday, then Thursday. And so this little mini bye of the last 10 days or so has finally enabled them to get back into the basics. And I think you might hear this in this clip where they talk about, you know, getting back to the basics. Footwork. That's one thing that's jumped out at me, right? You guys have saw it.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden, like, falling backwards. It just didn't seem like he was as crisp these last few weeks. Here's Cliff.
Yeah, I think you just get back to the basics, the fundamentals, and really hone in on those. I think anytime you have a couple games that, you know, aren't to maybe the level we all want to be at, you narrow the focus, and it's like, hey, let's nail the footwork, let's nail the reads, progressions, the base stuff, and start there. And he's a guy who, when he is working at it, he works really hard, he's very focused, and so this week has been good to see him back out there going full speed and getting the reps that I think will help us play at a higher level.
Right,
going full speed, that catches my ringing ears.
So you read between the lines there. I mean, it's fairly obvious that he hasn't been able to practice sort of at full speed, do everything that he was doing prior to that injury. So I am expecting Jaden to have a bounce back performance, although I am nervous about a guy like Micah Parsons, who I think is an elite defender.
Let's also get back to the targets when Terry had 10 against Arizona. He had 8 mm-hmm. targets in the Cleveland game. He had 7 targets in the Baltimore game. In his last 3 games, he's had 2, 6, and 3 targets.
Right.
It's simply not enough. Now, when he had 6 targets, not surprisingly, he had 5 catches for 113 yards. Please give him 8 to 10 targets every single game.
Is that like one against the Ravens?
That game was against
the... Or not the Ravens.
That was a Steelers game.
The Steelers game.
Yeah. Please find a way to consistently get him 8 to 10 targets every single game.
And let's not make it all just like these little, like screen passes. Like, let him run some patterns and let's throw the ball downfield a little bit.
Of course.
I hate all this like bubble screen stuff that just gets tackled for 1 yard. I hate that stuff.
Part of their offense, though.
But let's not make it a feature.
They're one of the top 3 teams in the league. For screens and passes.
I don't mind the screens of the running backs. I don't like the wide receiver bubble screens. I just think that they're rarely successful. But these guys know football way more than me, so I defer to them.
Do you give Quinn and Joe Witt a big-time competitive advantage facing their former team?
I don't know.
This is a major revenge game, Cakes. You've got Dan Quinn, who was defensive coordinator there last season. Mm-hmm. You have Joe Witt, who was underneath him. You've got Dorrance Armstrong, the defensive end. You've got Dante Fowler Jr., who's mm-hmm. having a good year.
Biotish.
Defensive end. Biotish. I mean, it's a big-time revenge
Brown.
Game.
Yeah. Noah Brown, a former Cowboy.
That's right. That's true.
No, yeah, there's a bunch of them. And it's interesting, Joe Witt talked about how, you know, he's worked with Mike McCarthy, I don't know, man, maybe a long time, because he worked with him for 3 years in Green Bay, too. And you want to talk about a guy that's prepared. Maybe this is how everybody is in the NFL, but he's got notes from sort of every meeting he's ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And he talked about...
Handwritten?
Yeah, sound like it.
Really? It's
handwritten, typed up, whatever it is.
Okay.
It sounds like he reviews his notes when he had to make sure, like, whatever he's telling them, he could counter. And he talks about sort of the chess match between these guys. He knows what... You know, these coordinators might call, and what he's called, he gave an example of a San Francisco game where he ran a certain blitz and he knew they were going to be expecting that blitz, but he ran it differently.
Right.
So, you know, there's definitely going to be a chess match going on between those guys. As JP mentioned, a bunch of them coming back in that, I guess, Cakes revenge game that he likes to talk about.
Cowboys get Brandon Cooks back at wide receiver. That's going to help them. Because they've been pretty much CeeDee Lamb, and you really don't even look at anybody else in terms of wide receivers.
Right.
I'm not saying Brandon Cooks is Justin Jefferson, but he's had 1,000-yard seasons in the league.
I mean, they've had to rely on guys like Jalen Tolbert at wide out. I mean, they were leaning on Jake Ferguson at tight end, but he's banged up. Like, the Cowboys have a lot of offensive deficiencies.
I don't know remember what they traded status for, is, but like Zach Martin, I believe, mm-hmm. was knocked out of the game, didn't return.
Yeah.
So I mean, I don't know what his status is, but
look at their injury report.
He's probably doubtful, or I guess did they take doubtful out?
No, doubtful's still in the mix.
Doubtful's in.
They took probable out.
They took
the
probable
injury
out.
Report.
Brandon Cooks has had 6 1,000-yard seasons now. He hasn't had one in a couple of seasons, but
you got to count.
That's gonna help them offensively. It's funny though. They traded for before the deadline. Is it Jonathan Mingo?
Yes, correct. From the Carolina Panthers,
wide receiver to try and bolster that wide receiving core. I think last week against Houston, he had zero catches and zero targets.
Well, they gave up a fourth-round pick for him.
Right.
So that sounds like a Jerry Jones type of personnel move. Also, this is kind of interesting, too. CeeDee Lamb didn't practice yesterday. And
that would be wonderful.
We're to the point
in that would be wonderful.
When a season has unraveled to this point like it has for the Cowboys, if CeeDee Lamb is like borderline, do you think he's really going to make an effort to get out on the field if he's not close to 100%? Now, if the Cowboys were contending for a playoff spot, like if something is bothering him and he feels like he can play through it, he's probably going to be out there. But if the season is just slipping away, like some of these star players might just be like, you know what? I might have to make a business decision here. Do I really want to go out and make this injury worse going forward? Now, he's G'd up. He got his big fat deal in the offseason, so he's already got his money. But missing practice on a Thursday is generally not a good sign. Now, I mean, he might be out there today, which would bode well for him playing, but look for that to happen potentially too for the Bengals, with both of those guys at the wideout spot having murky contract situations. Like, if they lose another game, they might not be playing either down the stretch.
One thing Joe Witt said about CD and how much respect he had for him and how much he liked him was that not only was the talent jump off the page and he could play any position, he's got a quickness to play slot if he needed to, can run any route.
They mix him into the backfield, too.
They mix him in the backfield because when he has the ball in his hands, he's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. He also took such an interest and was such sort of a student of the game. He would sit in on defensive meetings.
Right.
Like, that's how dedicated CeeDee Lamb is to the game.
Of course, he was at the club after the loss.
Well,
cutting a rap video. Is that what he was doing?
He was filming a video with Trayvon Diggs.
Right. Of course, the game is 1 o'clock, Cakes, at Northwest Stadium, which people tell me is in Landover.
It is in Landover.
I would think maybe it would be, you know, I don't know, Oregon or something.
It'd be formerly Raljohn.
Yeah, Raljohn. That's what it used to be called. Northwest Stadium. I hate that name. Joe Davis will be doing play-by-play. Whenever I think of Joe Davis, who do I think of, Cakes?
You think of Stephen Davis.
Yes. I don't know why.
Because Brett, here's the backstory.
Yeah.
Didn't Brett like go over to his house and or...
He followed him one time.
He followed him home
I think Brett was out at like Shark Club or someplace in Virginia. And he went up and asked Stephen Davis. He's like, are you Stephen Davis? And Stephen Davis' response, I believe, was, no, my name's Joe. I think that's the way the story went.
I think you're right.
I could be wrong on that.
But who's the guy he knocked on the door?
It was also Stephen Davis.
It was Stephen Davis, and the wife answered.
Said he was pooping.
She said he's taking a dump.
Yes, that's correct. It's good recall.
Joe Davis, the announcer, is one of the silliest ones out there. He's the Dodgers announcer. If you remember when Otani was hitting 50-50, those calls, he's the one who was doing those.
Yeah, it's a new name to me. I'm not super familiar with him. Greg Olson's the analyst. Of course, they'll still have Pam Oliver on the sideline for
Greg Olson's so bitter. He definitely has a big Tom Brady voodoo doll at his house. He just pushes pins in it all the time. Taking his number one gig.
Cakes, I'll just give you a little background on this. Do you want to care to guess? They've played 65 games at home lifetime against the Cowboys.
Okay.
All right. How have we fared lifetime against the Cowboys out of 65 games?
65. So now I have to
EB.
Radio math.
I'll go 30-35.
You nailed it. 30-35. That's pretty good, JP. Last season, of course, Washington went 0-2. Red flag for everybody just assuming it's going to be a cakewalk.
Yeah, but that Cowboys team was good last year. Where they finished with 12 wins? They won the division.
With a win, the Commanders would move to 8-4, which would be their best record through 12 games in 28 years.
Wow.
If they win this game this week, were their, last time I checked, 10-point favorites.
10.5.
10.5 now.
Yep.
They would have their best record in 28 years.
Since we were doing weekend radio.
When you when you look at the sort of the statistics, just kind of focus. I mean, there's several areas where Washington is pretty highly ranked, like top 10, top 5. In total offense, Washington 6th, averaging 366 yards per game. Pretty darn good. Scoring offense, we're 4th. We've dipped to 28. I think at one point we were close to 31 points per game. Last two efforts, or certainly last week, hurt it. Rushing offense, 6th, Cakes. This team is averaging 148 yards per game on the ground. They need to get back to that. Third down offense, they're 8th. A lot of passing defense. So a lot of people are on these corners. Joe Witt said, made a point of saying in his press conference that he exposed his corners last week, that they got beat on the ground, and it wasn't because they were helping out the secondary.
He
was calling run blitzes, and Saquon just ripped off some big ones there late.
I expected A.J. Brown to have a big day, Devontae Smith to have a big day, and for the most part, they did a really good job
on
the Eagles' receivers.
Sanistrill, even St. Juiced, and Mike Davis. He said all those guys played very, very well. The Commanders are 8th in sacks, Cakes. So everybody talks about we need more pass rush. They got 29 sacks. A lot of that's because of Dante Fowler Jr., what he's been able to do. Joe Witt also said, you know what he credits Dante Fowler's for kind of having a revitalized season this year? He's always been quick and with great bend around the corner.
He's got
It's been finishing that's been his issue. Mm-hmm. And he said, Ryan Kerrigan has been huge with that.
Coach Kerrigan.
That's what Kerrigan has been focusing on, is closing the deal. Fowler's got that get off and the bend to get around guys, but he hasn't been able to finish. And that's something that Ryan Kerrigan is being credited with helping him with. By the same token, when you look at Dallas, sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum, man, they rank pretty poorly in almost everything. Like, total offense, they're 20th. Scoring offense, they're 24th. Sacks allowed, 22nd. Rushing offense, 31st. Total defense, 27th. Scoring defense, 31st. Rushing defense, 31st. The two categories that you kind of look at, they do pass at a high rate. That's probably because they're behind a lot.
Has to be.
And you know, Dak can put up big numbers when he was playing. They're tied for 7th. They're 240 yards a game through the air.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the other one, we touched on this just a little bit yesterday. For whatever reason, they're not horrible in third down defense. So we got to convert our third down.
This game could be over in about 2 hours and 15 minutes because you have the second and third worst rushing defenses in Washington and Dallas. Dallas is second worst. Washington's right there at third worst. Both teams give up over 150 rushing yards per game. Now, if Washington gets out to a lead, then Dallas is going to have to pass to try to get back into it. But if it's a close game, there's going to be a ton of running on both sides, I would think.
I can't get past Cooper Rush's stat line against the Eagles. So, common opponent. I know the Eagles have a great defense. We saw that against Jaden Daniels.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Washington Commanders, Jaden didn't have his best game, probably his worst game of the season, right? Cooper Rush threw for 45 yards in a whole game.
It would be
entire game.
It would be an abject embarrassment and failure if this team loses to a Cooper Rush-led Cowboys team.
They scored 6 points against the Eagles. That's it. Six.
You just can't allow that to happen at home.
I can't get past that.
Yeah,
I'm kind of with Cakes. You can't let Cooper Rush beat you. No. And I know he does have that winning record somehow where they're 5-2 during his starts. But
again, go back and look at what the defenses did for him during those starts. They were holding teams like 10 and 17 points per game. This Cowboys defense can't do that.
Have to take a break. Coming up next, we're going to get into the Hayfield High School controversy. They won again last night. Some people don't think they should be playing. We'll tackle that next here on the Junkies.